Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together. Let's bless the name of our God. He deserves our glory. Hallelujah. He deserves our glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we're so thankful. Oh, we're so thankful. Well, thank you for joining us in this service. Those that are online, thank you for being with us. Amen, amen and amen. Okay, so let's take our 2025 confessions together. It will be on the screen. I hope we can. Yeah, it is there. All right, good. So let's go together. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God shalom is mine. All is well with me, soul, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvests, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side. And I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack, no stress, no dryness, no tiredness, no weakness, and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed. Promises are produced and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His word is being fulfilled in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to press forward in this service and speak with you a little further on the theme, the spirit of the champion. Glory to God. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and let's read from verse 32. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 and from verse 32. I think it's best to read that in the New King James Version. That's good. It's right there on the screen. Hallelujah. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, walked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all this, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Would you please put up those last two verses, verses 39 and verse 40. Let's put both of those up in the Amplified. Let's read those in the Amplified version. Look at what it says. And of all these, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, they did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised. Verse 40. Why? Because God had us in mind. And he had something better and greater in view for us. Somebody say with me, God has me in mind. Say that one more time. God has me in mind. Amen. And amen and amen. The spirit of the champion. We have already established the real champion is our Savior and our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will please put up Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's read that El Gibor scripture. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I'm going to have you go through just a few scriptures this morning. The point that I believe the Lord wants me, the impartation he wanted me to give, I believe will be very clear. Hallelujah. Let's look at it right there in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from the latter time forth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Hallelujah. The word champion, like we have established, been a bit since we were able to minister. I think right, it was the last time I ministered on this theme was maybe a little bit before Easter Sunday. Obviously, for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we went with the theme that the Lord gave to us. But notice in this scripture, especially in verse 6, notice where it says that unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. The word mighty is translated from the original Hebrew, Gibor. Mighty God is El Gibor. That is the all-powerful God, the almighty God. Amen. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the champion. That word is also translated, one of the translations is the word champion or the word warrior. Amen. Jesus is the ultimate warrior. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the ultimate warrior. And isn't that interesting, though, that when you and I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, really, the first thing that comes to mind isn't warrior, though he is the ultimate warrior, right? When you and I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that comes to mind is what? Messiah, Savior, right? If you joined us during our teaching on Wednesday, I know that there was a section of that teaching, Your Highest Calling is Virtue, where I was ministering, the Lord was having me minister to women. And I was saying once in a while, every now and then, the Lord will have you take on the garment of the warrior. But that's not your default disposition. When people think about you, that's not the first thing they should remember. When they think about you, they shouldn't think warrior. No. No. When people think about you, the first thing they should think about is your virtue. It's your virtue. Even though once in a while the Lord will have you put on the garment of a warrior, you will have to fight some battles sometimes. Sometimes behind the scenes. Not before the whole world. Right? Not, you know. Glory to God. The Lord, the anointing of the champion, the anointing of the warrior is upon you. Glory to God. And no matter what you are fighting, no matter what you are dealing with in your life, the Lord wanted me to tell you today, I'm so thankful electricity came back. So I got the opportunity to tell you. Life is so precious. Every moment is a privilege that we live. Every moment. I'm so thankful that I have this opportunity to minister this word to you today. The Lord wants me to encourage you. You will win. No matter what you are going through, no matter what you are dealing with, the spirit of the champion is upon you. You will win. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. Glory to God. See, he is the ultimate champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his spirit is upon you. The spirit of the champion is upon you and is upon me. What does that mean then? That means everything that is available to Christ is available to you. Amen. And that scripture actually lists some of those things. His name shall be called Wonderful. That means you are for signs and wonders. Because of Christ, you are for signs and wonders. There will be wonders coming out of your life. There will be testimonies coming out of your life. Now, you know, in order for you to have testimonies, you have to have tests. There is no testimony without test. You can't say, like those people who received the crown of the overcomer, you know, you can't say, I got the crown of the overcomer. And the people ask you, what did you overcome? Nothing. There's no crown of the overcomer for people who have not overcome anything. You are an overcomer because you are destined to overcome. And the Lord wants you to know today, he wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to be charged up in your spirit. You will overcome. I said you will overcome. Glory to God. Wonderful. Counselor, you will have the wisdom of God, the counsel of God. Mighty God, you yourself, you are a champion. Gibor. Amen. Hallelujah. Everlasting Father, you are connected to the everlasting Father by covenant. Prince of Peace, you have the peace of God, the shalom of God. Is your portion. Amen. Now, those people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 32, notice there were three major things about them. Even though they lived in the Old Testament, there were three major things about them that in the New Testament is manifest in everyone who has the spirit of the champion. The first one is these people had clarity of vision. They were laser focused on God's purpose for their lives, and they worked closely with God and the Holy Spirit to get clear directions and to be in the will of God. What's that? They had clarity of direction. Say that with me. They had clarity of direction. Say it one more time. They had clarity of direction. In order to experience and enjoy the blessings of being a champion, you must have clarity of direction. You have to have clarity of direction. This anointing, this grace of God upon your life that helps you overcome everything that the world may throw at you, Satan may throw at you, that anointing works hand in hand with divine instructions and divine directions. Amen. There are certain provisions that are made available to you in certain places for certain things. But if you are doing things that God didn't ordain for you to be doing, there will be no anointing. There will be no grace. Amen. God's graces are in God's places. Somebody say that with me. God's graces are in God's places. Say that one more time. God's graces are in God's places. That means whatever places God sends you, whatever places God assigns you, That's where he makes grace available. That's where he makes grace available. When God sent David to go and confront Goliath, God made grace available to him for Goliath. Amen. In that scripture we read in Hebrews, and I think I'm going to focus a little bit more on that gentleman here before I close out. Moriah, if you go back to Hebrews 11, and where he starts to list the names of those people, those champions, you see the first name he listed was Gideon. Do you see that? Right? Verse 32. And what shall I say further? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon. So I'm going to end up talking a little bit, just give you a few notes about Gideon. But notice, God's graces are in God's places. Wherever God assigns you. So when God came to, when God sent an angel to Gideon and said to him, you're a mighty man of valor, and then to go in this, your might, blah, blah, blah. He was telling him, you were going to deliver the Midianites, so God has made grace available to you for that. If instead of fighting the Midianites, Gideon was fighting the Philistines, there was no grace for that. God's graces are in God's places. It is extremely important for you, child of God, to find your assignment in life. Finding your assignment and getting directions from the Lord and finding out where the Lord wants you to do the things that he has assigned you is one of the most important steps you can take as a child of God. Amen. Amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If we don't know the will of God, we can't walk in faith. You can't believe God for something that you don't have clarity about. Amen. There has to be clarity. You have to know that you know that you know that you know that you are in the center of the will of God. That confidence that you have about being in the center of the will of God, like every day you wake up, you must know, I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm pursuing. Even when those things are natural things like career or things like family or things like, you have to know the Lord. That's what the Lord assigned me to do. So his grace is available for me to do that. Amen. This is so important. So what's the first thing they had? They had clarity of direction. The second thing, they had the spirit of faith. You see, of course, we're reading Hebrews 11 is the big chapter of faith. And the Bible says, by faith, by faith, by faith. These people had the spirit of faith. In order for you and I to enjoy the blessings of being a champion in our lives, we must engage the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It is faith that helps you bring the giants of this world to their knees. I think it's the Message translation of that scripture that says it brings the world to his knees. Can you put up that the message in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4? It is faith that helps you bring the world to his knees. Like some things that can seem like really big, like really insurmountable, like some things that seem like this is so difficult, nobody can deal with this. It is faith that will bring those things to their knees. Look at the Message translation of 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to his knees is our faith. The conquering power that brings the world. So no matter what you confront and no matter what you are confronted by, no matter how big it seems in your eyes, no matter how insurmountable it feels to you sometimes, the thing that will bring it to his knees is your faith in God. Your faith in God. These champions had the spirit of faith, and in order for you and I to enjoy the victories that God has prepared for us and operate in the spirit of the champion, we must have the spirit of faith. Amen. But the last thing, which is really where I want to spend the bulk of my time, I think that's what the Lord has inspired me to do today, is that they had the spirit of might. Somebody say they had the spirit of might. Say that again one more time. They had the spirit of might. Hallelujah. And I really want to spend the bulk of my time talking to you about this might that was in operation in the lives of these champions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said glory to God. Now, yeah, there are two people. It's very interesting. I want to show you a couple of things because this is a very good bridge between what I was ministering, what we were ministering on Wednesday and where we are today. I want to show you something. If you go with me to Gideon, to Judges chapter 6, we're going to read this about Gideon. Judges chapter 6 is verse 14. You see there where God sent his angel to Gideon. Let's look at that I think in the New King James is best. I have King James here, so I'm going to read from King James, but I'll also look at the screen and read what you have. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 14, notice where the angel, God sent an angel to this man and said to him, go in this thy might. Is that the right verse? He said, and then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have I not sent you? Now, you see, the first thing, what's the three things that we listed that we said helped these champions to be able to enjoy the victories that God had for them? What were these three things? Number one, they had clarity of direction. Clarity of direction means you have to know you are in the place that God sent you. Because God's graces are only available in God's places. You have to know. Like, if you are pursuing the wrong agenda that God didn't assign you, there will be no grace there. You are going to keep struggling. You may fast and pray. You may do everything. You may go to school to learn it. You might do that. But you will find you are just struggling. The reason being, there is no grace there. There's no grace there. If you pursue the wrong things in your life, right, as good and as noble as some of those things may sound, someone may even have invited you to be a part of those things. But if that is not your place, if that's not what God has assigned to you, you are going to find perpetual struggle. Perpetual struggle. Why is that? Say that with me. Because God's graces are always in God's places. Amen. Now, I want you to notice Gideon here. God is saying to him, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Now, isn't it interesting? He had something, and God is telling him he has something, but he himself didn't know he had it. Isn't this interesting? He had something. And God himself, and what he had is what he needed to fulfill the assignment God had given to him. He had something, but he himself didn't know he had that thing, and God had to tell him, you have it. What does that tell you immediately? It tells you that thing that he had was not external. It tells you immediately. Because if it was external, everybody would have told him, you have this. He would have grown up from his childhood. His parents would have told him, you have this. Everybody would have told him, you have this. Because the whole world, the first thing people see when they see him would be that thing. Say, ah, well, before you meet a stranger, say, wow, you have this. right? Because it's external. Up until this time, nobody had ever told Gideon, you have this. Why is that? Because this was not external. This was internal. There's a big revelation in here for you. Let me tell you something here. The greatest things that will enable you in your life to achieve the greatest victories are not physically obvious to most people. The endowments that God has given you that will enable you to achieve your greatest accomplishments in your life are not obvious to the average eyes. Why? Because they are internal. They are not external. Right? Now notice, he said to him, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And then notice what he said next. Have I not sent you? That means this is not your thing. My friends, I tell you, this is one of the greatest confidence boosters in any life, in any situation of life. For you to remember, the Lord sent me to do this. The Lord called me to do this. The Lord assigned me to, I didn't assign myself, the Lord assigned me to do is a great confidence booster. The Lord said to him, have I not sent you? That means I'm the one who sent you. And if I send you, that means nobody can stop you. Amen. Say that with me, God sent me, nobody can stop me. Say it again, God sent me, nobody can stop me. All the forces of life can arise against you. If God sent you, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop you. Hallelujah. There may be the greatest oppositions come against you, but if God sent you, nobody can stop you. Say it again with me, God sent me, nobody can stop me. This is so powerful. Now, the word might, when he said to him, go in this thy might, that word might means inner strength. It means an inner force, an inner resolve, inner power. In the New Testament, you will see the same word might, but sometimes it's used interchangeably. The original Greek words sometimes is they'll use interchangeably two Greek words, one iskos, the other dunamis. One of them means, that iskos means inner might, inner strength, inner power, inner resolve. Dunamis means a power that reproduces itself. It's also inner. But it always works and produces manifestations on the outside. So a lot of times in the New Testament, where you see the word might, it's an endowment of God that enables you from your inside to do the undoable. To accomplish things that have not crossed the minds of man. But God said to Gideon, go in this your might. You have this inner power. You have this inner strength. You see, Gideon, is it, what? Me? Me? In fact, if you back up, this is verse 14. Let's back up to verse 11. Because I want to show you something here. Back up to verse 11. Now, this is where the angel first accosted him. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So he was hiding. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Of course, you know this was news to Gideon. Because you read the next verse, say, me? Who? Me? He turned around to, well, who's he talking to? Right? Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened? where all his miracles, which our fathers told about us. And then later on, he said, God, I'm the least in my father's house. But I want you to step back and just focus a little bit on verse 12. Just back up a little bit. Just focus on that verse 12 right there. I want to show you something. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of Allah. The word mighty is the same word we have been studying, champion, gibor. That's the same word God used to describe Gideon. Of course, you see him in Hebrews 11. God described him as a champion in Hebrews 11. But even right here, the Lord called him a champion. He said, you are a mighty man. You are a champion. But that's not all the Lord said to him in this scripture. The Lord also said to him, you are a mighty man of valor. Valor. Now, this is what I need to show to you, because this is very interesting. What is the original word translated valor here? I know Pastor Tinu preached about it last Sunday. The Hebrew word is a word kayil, C-H-A-Y-I-L. And that word means valor, powerful, strong, influential, wealthy, great, and all of that. Now, I know you don't know this, but this is what I needed to show to you. That word is also the same word that is translated virtue. So when God is referring to a man who has his spirit and his grace working in his life, God calls that man a mighty man of valor. When God is referring to a woman who has this same grace, it's the same grace upon her life, he never calls her a woman of valor. You will never see that expression in the Bible. When God is referring to a woman who has this same grace of wealth, influence, power, inner strength and everything, God refers to that woman as a woman of virtue. It's exactly the same word. That word kayil is translated valor in some places and is translated virtue in some other places. Now, I want to tell you some other thing that you don't know. I know you don't know. Towards the end of my teaching, we didn't really have a lot of time to do what I needed to do in that part of my teaching on Wednesday, the latter part, because I was out of time and I was being clocked out. But that woman, Ruth, really is one of the best. Ruth is one of the best representatives of virtue. And she's a great cross between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I explained why. Because even though she came out from a Gentile background, she actually became a covenant woman by marrying into the covenant family. And then became one somebody in the lineage of Christ. Great, 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 great of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Ruth. Now, what I wanted to tell you, though I didn't say it on Wednesday, at the time I was teaching it, I actually didn't know. I didn't know that. It was afterwards that the Lord opened my eyes to see it. I just picked Ruth as my example of this woman of virtue for my teaching, for so many different reasons, some of which I talked about, some of which I didn't really get to. But afterwards, the Lord showed me, actually opened my eye to see, actually, in the entire Bible, there is only one woman that the word virtue is used to describe. And that woman was Ruth. There's only one woman. Now, you know the virtuous woman, the woman of virtue. And I want you to make a confession with me in a minute. I'll get there in just 1 minute. But I just needed to give you some understanding here. I want you to get this understanding. You know, the Bible talks about the virtuous, virtuous woman who can find blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But, like, who is this woman? What? Give us an example of one woman. There's only one you will find in the entire Bible that the Bible puts a name to as a woman of virtue. Who is this woman? Is Ruth. Now, take a detour and put up for us, Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. Let's read that scripture together. This is where you find that word Kail show up again. It shows up regarding Ruth. Why am I talking about this? I just want you to see in the spirit, in the heart of God, what makes you a person of substance is what's inside you. I just want you to know that. What makes you a person of substance? Man or woman? What makes you a person of substance? It's not your stature. It's not how tall you are, how short you are. How big you are or how slim you are. How light-skinned you are or how dark-skinned you are. None of those things matter. In this world, what matters in the spirit, what makes you a winner in life, is none of those externals. It's something inside you. God said it to Gideon, and he said it to Ruth. Now, look at this scripture in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. This is the only scripture you will find where that word Kail is used, and there's a name appended to that word. He says, verse 11, and now, this is Boaz speaking to Ruth, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a woman of virtue. All the people of my town know. It's not because she was the most beautiful, physically beautiful woman. That's not what he's talking about. It's not because she was the wealthiest woman. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, if you read the context of this scripture, it was the good works, good works. She did so much good. She did so much good. That the whole neighborhood, everyone said, that's a virtuous woman. That's a virtuous woman. That's a virtuous woman. It's not because of the dress she wore. Hallelujah. It's not because of how good her makeup was. Amen. Nothing wrong with all of that. Look beautiful, look nice, dress nice. But understand, as far as God is concerned, what did we read in 1 Peter? This is of great value before God. Virtue is of great value before God. But all the women here, say with me, I'm a mighty woman of virtue. Say it, I'm a mighty woman of virtue. All the men, say with me, I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm a mighty man of valor. I just want you to see from these scriptures, exactly the same word translated virtue is translated valor. And what that means, the Lord is telling you, the greatest value about your life is not outside, it's inside. Man or woman. Man or woman. Your greatest value is inside. It's who you are inside. It's how good you are. How aligned you are with the Holy Spirit. Are you producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Virtue is producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not being combatant. Right? I use the word feisty, expression feisty versus sweetness in my teaching. God didn't create you to be feisty. Combatant. What are some of those other words that were used there? Belligerent. I mean, it's amazing what God values in us. Even though sometimes we have to stand our ground and not allow people to take advantage of us. Sometimes we have to stand our ground and we have to say no, no. But I remember one preacher several years ago. This was very funny. Everybody was laughing when he said it, but it got me thinking. The preacher said, no is no, isn't it? Whether you are screaming, no, 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 or whether you just say, no. Is it no, no? No is no. Do you have to, hey, no, 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 no. I said, no, 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 you don't have to. You don't have to lose your virtue to make your point. You don't have to become combatant and quarrelsome to make your point and say, well, that's just, you know, that's just my personality. No, you are in Christ now. Give up that personality. Let Jesus, let the Holy Spirit help you with it. This is a very big issue. This is a big issue that has destroyed so many relationships. Hallelujah. And I think the Lord wanted me to talk about it just so you are aware of it. And especially in raising our girls, our daughters, our young women, and older women too. We've got to put virtue at the front right there. Virtue has got to be at the front. To be graceful is virtue. To be kind. To be loving. To be good-natured. Good-natured. The world is teaching us. The world is telling us, well, you know, you don't let people take advantage of if you are just good like that. You know, people will think you are a fool, they'll take advantage. Don't do that. Don't let Satan and don't let the world determine. Don't let them determine who you are. Don't let Satan or the world determine who you are. Amen. Both men and women. Let's get back to talking about champions so I can close right here. Glory to God. I just wanted you to see what makes you a champion, what makes you a winner, what makes you an overcomer is inside you. So as we wrap this up, let's focus on what is inside. Put up for me, please, Isaiah 40. Let's read from verse 28 to 31. Let's try to wrap this up. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Go on to the next verse. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, what does he do? He increases strength. So if you feel today like you find yourself running out of strength, you feel today like sometimes you even get started, but sometimes you get so tired and so weary and you can't find the wherewithal to keep moving. He gives strength to the weary. The Bible says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But what would happen? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you feel from time to time like you are just running out of grace, you are just running out of strength, you are getting tired, you are getting weary, the Bible says the Lord, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And in this service today, I know you are receiving an impartation of the promises of God for might, for strength, for grace, inner grace. To be able to keep going, inner grace to accomplish your goals, inner grace to get to your destination, inner grace to not quit, inner grace to not give up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Those that wait on the Lord, your job is to wait on the Lord, and the Lord will supply grace. The Lord will supply strength. The Lord will supply might. The Lord will supply equipping. He will supply everything you need. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have strength. Somebody say, I have might. Somebody say, I have grace. Glory to God. 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 We have strength. We have grace. Oh, we have strength. We have grace. We have the spirit of might. We have the spirit of might. We are people of substance. We are people of great grace. Hallelujah. Inside us, there is something that is too strong for the world. Inside us, there is something that is too strong for the opposition of the devil. Inside us, there is something that is too strong for every opposition we will ever encounter in our lives. No matter how difficult life seems to turn, no matter how hard the things that life throws at us are, there is something on the inside of us that makes us more than conqueror, that makes us more than overcomers, that makes us champions. The spirit of might, the spirit of strength, the spirit of grace is on our inside. It's on our inside. I want to encourage you to tap more into it. Learn to look inside more. Learn to look inside more. Learn. It's available. That might is available to you. Let's read two last scriptures in the New Testament and close out. This might is available to you. As a child of God, it's available. You are not a victim, you are a victor. No matter how hard it gets, you are a winner. And you know, if you are a winner, hi, come on. Why would you lose your cool? I remember this week I was saying to somebody, I'm so secure in God. My greatest security is God. I cannot be hurt. I am unhurtable. There is nothing Satan can throw at me. Nothing. I guarantee you there's nothing. Paul said somewhere, he said, God delivered me from the mouth of the lions. Your greatest security is God. When you learn to lean on that, when you learn to lean on that. My friends, life gets hard sometimes. You know that. I don't have to tell you. All of us live in this world. This world is corrupted. There are many evil people in this world. There are bad people in this world. There are terrible people in this world. My friends, even though God has called us to be good, we are not gullible. We are not fools. There are many people in this world who would hurt you. There are many people in this world who don't want your good. They like it when you weep. They like it when you cry. They like it when things are not working. There are people of hate. People who would not celebrate when good things happen in your life. But my friends, in spite of all those people being in this world, God is for you. Romans chapter 8, he says, if God, I think it's 31, 32, one of those, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be against you. My friends, no matter what it is you deal with in your life, no matter what it is you are going up against, I know sometimes life can be hard. I know sometimes this, and it's not just life as in, I'm not using it generically. People in this world sometimes can be evil. It's like sometimes people are just happy when people are suffering. Some people are happy to see others suffering. That is evil. That is evil. Especially when those people are vulnerable. When those people are weak. The Bible talks about widows being helpless in the Bible. The Bible talks about people who don't have help. And some people just like to take advantage of helpless people. I don't know, maybe to them it makes them feel like strong. Maybe it makes them feel like they have influence. That's really what it is. A lot of that shows their insecurity. That's what that is. Anybody, it's even for young people. Anybody who bullies you and gets fun out of something that's making you feel bad is mean. It's mean-spirited. But you always have to remember, in spite of all these mean-spirited people in the world, God loves us and God is for us. And we can be secure in the love of God. Hallelujah. I said you can be secure in the love of God. I don't think you heard me. That might, that strength is available to you. When we take communion today, I want you to take it. I know our time is gone. I got to close right here. But let's just read this last two scriptures. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, verse 10, and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That means God's power and God's might is available to you. You are not a victim, you are a victor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are not helpless, you are helped. Somebody say, I'm helped. Somebody say, I'm the helped of the Lord. I'm the help. The Lord helps me. Remind yourself from time to time, when life sometimes becomes overwhelming, when the things you are dealing with sometimes get overwhelming and challenging, remind yourself, I'm helped. I am helped. I am helped. I'm helped. Do you know in the Old Testament, they created an altar somewhere and they named the altar Ebenezer. That name Ebenezer means the Lord helps us. The Lord helps us. Sometimes when we feel so vulnerable and we feel like we are helpless and we feel like we don't even can't find a way out of the difficulty we are dealing with, we remember the helper is within us. Do you know the Holy Spirit is called the helper? He's called the helper. You are helped. You are helped, my friends. You are helped no matter what it feels like today. You are helped. You are helped. The helper is around you. The helper is within you. The helper is over you. You are helped. You are helped. I'm helped. I'm helped. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I have divine help. I have divine assistance. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Oh, I'm helped. I'm helped. I'm helped. I'm helped. I'm helped. Glory to God. I'm helped. I want to say this. For the benefit of a lot of people who may be hearing me in this service today, maybe virtual or in person, the Lord wanted me to say this to you. I'm so thankful I got to preach this message. There's so many people who feel like if they don't fight, they'll lose. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be deceived. There are a lot of believers, it's for lack of teaching, really, it's for lack of understanding, who feel like unless they fight for themselves, they will lose every time. It's not true. Sometimes the Lord really just wants you to hold your peace. Sometimes the Lord just wants you to step back, hold your peace, and watch him do the work. Watch him do the work. And sometimes, you know, circumstances and situations, as they evolve and as they unfold, sometimes, you know, the adversary sometimes feels like you are a fool because you are not throwing punches. It's not true. It's not true. Your biggest punch is the punch no one can see you throwing. Amen. Your biggest punch. Your biggest punch is the one no one can see you throwing. You know what? Grace, to have grace under pressure, so pleasing to God. To be going through so much and yet to be graceful. It shows trust. It shows you trust God. You trust God to fight your battles. You trust God to stand up for you. You trust God to turn things around for you. You trust God to rewrite stories for you. You trust God. If you are listening to me today, and you've been fighting all your battles, you are actually limiting the ability of God to fight for you sometimes. Do you know how limited we are? There's so many ways in which God can give you the victory. But when you take on that responsibility of getting the victory yourself, or fighting the battles yourself, you lose. You lose. And sometimes you may win, but you have damage. God wants you to give you, He wants to give you victories in life without damage. God wants to give you victories in life without damage. That is God's perfect plan for you, to have victories in life without damage. You don't have to lose things that are valuable to you. You don't have to lose people that are valuable to you. God wants to give you victories in life without damage. So sometimes you just need to step back and let the Lord do His thing. And you lean on Him and trust Him and stay strong inside. You stay strong. You stay valiant. You stay valiant. You stay strong. You remain the champion inside. You remain the champion, the mighty warrior inside, the courageous one inside, the strong one, the gibor. You remain strong inside, but you let the Lord fight your battles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You so very much for this precious opportunity You gave to us to hear Your word. We thank You. Thank You for reminding us throughout this service of what You have done for us. And as we get around our covenant with this communion element, thank You for reminding us again what You did for us on the cross of Calvary. I pray Your blessings on this element. I pray Your blessings on all of Your people, whether they are virtual or in person, wherever they are today. Let the spirit of might arise from within every man and every woman, every boy and every girl. Let the spirit of might, the spirit of great grace arise within everyone today. That overcoming spirit, that spirit of the champion, that spirit of valor, that spirit of valor, that spirit of valor. I thank You for it, Lord. I give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.